Hello, and welcome to Relatable with the Experts. This is your host, Teresa Freeman. We're working through our second series, Living Without Fear. Fear is something we all face. It can be a minor annoyance or a major roadblock in how we live our lives. I've struggled with fear at different stages in my own journey, which is why I'm so excited for you to hear from our incredible lineup of experts. Each one brings a unique perspective from their area of expertise to help us understand and overcome fear. In this episode, we hear from our executive leadership expert, Karen Schaefer. We discuss how fear shows up at different levels, both professionally and personally, how fear can be a great motivator, and how it may impact our ability to let go and let others take the reins. Karen always brings excellent stories to bring these topics to light. Enjoy this episode.
All righty.
So Karen, welcome back. We are talking about our segment two in terms of our expert conversations.
Yes.
And appreciate that you're here bringing...
Expert in quotes, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Our C-suite, I would say our C-suite, senior leader, you know, fill in the blanks, seasoned practitioner, however you want to characterize it. You're bringing that view to the table. And today we're talking about living without fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this theme, you know, personally, because I've found that it's been a blocker at times throughout my professional career where in lots of different ways it's shown up. And so, and then as I've talked to a lot of people over the years throughout the podcast, you know, fear is such an interesting topic in terms of how it shows up for people. And I think it can be subtle. I don't think it's always this obvious thing. And you're right. In a line of work that certainly has like
physical fear
built right. in. But I am curious. So maybe just as a starting point, let's talk a little bit about, you know, in your experience as a leader or even mm-hmm. within your line of work, you know, how does kind of that living without fear or maybe with fear show up?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I think what I did for the purpose, I love this. I mentioned to you this off camera, but I love this topic because I think you're right. It shows up personally, professionally, it shows up at every level of your experience as an employee, when you're a subordinate, when you're, you know, sort of a middle of manager, a senior leader. And so, for those of you who may believe otherwise, it never goes away. And so my view of this is, and, you know, when we were talking about this episode, it's, I think living without fear is a bit of a misnomer. I would say living with fear, because to your point, I think it shows up in so many different ways. So I'll talk about as a leader, and then I'll also talk about how I managed it with the workforce when I was in leadership positions. And I would say the first thing for me is recognizing that fear can be both good and bad, because fear can be an extraordinary motivator. I mean, it can get you out of your chair and moving like no other emotion, right? And so I think we do ourselves a disservice if we don't recognize that sometimes fear can be a really good thing if it's channeled properly. So what I really focused on when I was a leader is how do I manage my fear? Because it doesn't go away. And so I found a couple things for me that were really important. The first one is, and I think we joked about this maybe on a previous session, but being prepared. The best weapon to deal with insecurity and nervousness on a personal level, when you are, let's say you have to run a meeting or you have to do a presentation, is being well prepared. There's no substitute for managing fear like being well prepared, whether it's a presentation, meeting, anything. And I found that the more I practiced, the more I prepared for things, the more I thought through scenarios, the more I was able to, the fear doesn't go away, but it becomes manageable. Yeah. The second thing is asking questions. I think asking questions is a superpower. And I can remember, and this was brought home to me, you know, one of my most daunting assignments, and it was daunting for a couple different reasons. It was my first leadership position. And actually, I can use this example for both of these things in terms of being prepared, but also asking questions. I was deployed overseas in a war zone. And it was my first overseas leadership position. And I had two things that absolutely terrified me about it, aside from the obvious physical and you know, personal safety. The first was that I was being assigned as the senior sort of intelligence advisor to the commander of the Joint Special Operations Command. Our base that I was leading was co-located with it. And before I took off for my tour, I was there for a year, colleague helpfully came up to me and said, "Hey, just so you know, there are no other women out there. This team is really nervous about you showing up and kind of screwing up the dynamic and blah, blah, blah." And I'm thinking, oh my God, on top of everything else, now I am terrified that I'm going to step in. I was already worried about showing up and knowing what I was talking about, being prepared and being able right. to answer his questions. Now, on top of that, I had this additional layer of insecurity. And I just thought, okay, you know, again, to my first point, which was be prepared. I can't do anything about how people respond to me. All I can do, all I can control is what I bring to the table. So damn Skippy, you can be sure that when I showed up for that first briefing, I had been up all night preparing. I had all my paperwork. I was prepared. I was prepared to, you know, take any questions back, research, you know, and I showed up consistently. And by the end of that tour, the commander was very, very respectful and said, "Hey, you know, can't thank you enough for always showing up, always being committed." So just goes to show, right, that yeah. those are the experiences you wouldn't necessarily seek out, because who wants to step on a mine like that and, you know, blow yourself up? But it's the thing that makes you grow, because I walked away from that being much more comfortable. The other thing was I was managing a team of folks that were all super bright young kids. I'm an operations officer. I'm old school. I'm out on the street. I'm running human operations. I'm managing all these brilliant kids, because they were kids. They were all in their 20s, at best early 30s. I know very little about technology, and I'm managing all these people. And I thought, all right, how am I going to manage as a leader when I can't understand any of what these kids do, right? Or any of these young yes. people. And what I learned again is the superpower of asking questions. People don't care that you don't know every answer to everything, and that you don't know. What they care about is that you care about what they do for the mission, and that you are there to ensure that they are operationally successful. And so I understood my lane very clearly, and I knew that I was there to ensure that they had the resources, the personnel, the equipment that they needed to be successful. I asked lots of questions, so I got smarter about technology, how we use it, and how we can improve our footprint. But I certainly didn't go in as someone who felt comfortable. And so that was a huge growth experience for me. And I'm so grateful for it, because it was absolutely the best and most instructive period in my career, where I really did learn to let go and be able to serve as, you know, I don't need to do the major's job. That's not my job. I'm the general. So if I'm the general, somebody, you know, if I'm stepping down and trying to do the major's job, there's no one doing the general's job. So right. it was a great teaching point for me. I also, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say one thing too, that I found when I've been working with maybe smaller to mid-sized companies where people are spread thin and they have a lot of responsibility, and that, and they might have more responsibility than they would otherwise if they were in a bigger organization. And sometimes they hold on to work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so as you're talking, it reminds me too of in terms of that kind of general major, but also being aware of it's okay to let go and let other yes. people shine and thrive. Because I always joke with people, or I, you know, you should be working yourself out of a job, and you should yes. get that reaction from people. They sort of panic, and it's like, no, there's abundance. There's plenty to do. There's plenty of work. But if you believe into the fact that like, you're the only person that can do an, you know, I think that's limiting. And I do think that's fear-based.
So that's
you know, that's something to keep in mind too. Like, are you someone that hoards a little bit? Because, you know, that's the comfortable place and you know what that performance is going to look like.
Right. And you set me up perfectly for my last point, which was because I agree with you 100%. We hoard responsibility. And as I said, that was a situation where I couldn't have, even if I wanted to, because I simply didn't have the skill set. So in some ways, I feel like I cheated. I learned the lesson because it was forced upon me. I would love to say I'm a natural born leader, but I obviously had to be forced into some of this. But then I also think that there's also one of the ways you can manage fear is surrounding yourself with people who have different strengths than you do. Yeah. You know, when I would be looking for people to serve as a deputy when I was in leadership positions, I never looked for people that had my skill sets. I would look for people who could handle things that were more challenging for me. And it also because it pushed me out of my comfort zone. So I think when you're a leader, thinking strategically about how do you have the greatest impact? And if you know, you know, and this goes to probably the point that I'll talk about when we talk about the employee piece is knowing yourself. Like you have to be able to confront the things that make you anxious. You have to be able to acknowledge, like, for example, I spent most of my career as a clandestine officer behind the scenes in the shadows, so to speak. And I never really felt comfortable in front of a group. For a whole host of reasons. As I got more senior in the organization, I was leading meetings, I was making presentations. I hated public speaking. But I recognized that as a senior leader in my organization, and I had the additional, I think, pressure of being one of the few senior female leaders on the, you know, in the operational context, I had to learn to manage that fear. And yes, I could have avoided it, but guess what? You avoid it and you work yourself out of jobs. Mm-hmm. So you will lose opportunities if you seek to avoid the things you're not good at. Instead, you know, I tell people all the time, I was not good at public speaking. And yet here I am on a podcast with Teresa this morning. You know, it is not something I would have ever imagined. I can't say that I still love, my husband loves to stand up and speak in front of 5,000 people. That's like my idea of hell on earth, but I will do it if I have to do it. You learn and, you know, you work at those things that you fear, but first it takes self-reflection to identify what those things are. And I think, you know, that's a good transition to, you know, working with employees. I think, you know, what I have found in when I've managed people is that people fear more than anything. They fear risking failure. They fear embarrassing themselves. And what I try to remind young people all the time, particularly in our business is all about risk, right? It is all about taking risks. Having said that, I will say, I'm a big believer in calculated risks. Right. And this goes back to the planning and preparation. Like you shouldn't do something just to do it. Lots of people can do lots of things. You shouldn't be churning just to churn. But I think that as an employee, there are so many people, you know, the safest thing to do is always to do nothing. And yet in all of our careers, whether it's what we do, which is very high risk and sometimes involves taking risks to our personal security and to the lives of you know, our officers, as well as the assets that they work with, you know, most people don't live in that construct and don't have to assess that level of risk and manage that level of fear. But for individuals that have other careers, they still face that same fear and it's easy to run from it. And again, this goes back to, you know, knowing yourself. You really, you know, I would talk to young people and say, hey, you have to identify those things and learn, you know, how to manage your shortcomings to the greatest extent possible. And sometimes you can't get past some things that you just aren't good at. And that's also important to know because, you know, look, if you are an introvert that absolutely cannot stand to be with people, you should not seek out a job as a case officer where your job is all, that's not the kind of risking failure that I'm talking about. But I am talking, you know, to thine own self be true, right? Like know yourself, yeah. know where your strengths and limitations are and accept feedback from people. I was, you know, this as a leader, I always felt like one of, especially for the younger officers, because things that start out, you know, as small challenges for you or small things that you can't get past can become derailers in your career as you move up the food chain. For example, if I had...
Relatable is brought to you by TFA Soft Skills, your one-stop shop for speaking, career coaching, or leadership development. If you have a need in one of these areas, Teresa and her team would love to help. Please message us at info@tfasoftskills.com or leave a comment on our many socials. Now, back to
the
show.
Figured out how to manage the public speaking and being in front of, you know, leading teams and, you know, making presentations. That would have been a deal breaker for me. It yeah. would have been a derailer. That's my personal fear that I had to overcome. But it comes in all shapes and sizes. And the first thing is identifying that, right? Having the opportunity.
Yeah, one thing that I think is interesting about the self-awareness piece too, is if people can identify where are there areas in the life that they get, that they're willingly get uncomfortable. And I think often it's in the gym or with sports. Mm-hmm. And to me, the not as physical, like with the stuff that we're talking about, that's maybe more cerebral or kind of this personal safety and wellness, or like, you know, when your adrenaline's out of control or you can't, you know, you make fear-based decisions. It's the same thing that you're describing with those reps, right? Every time you talked in front of a group of people, every time you did a presentation, you're kind of building up that muscle and that capability yeah. and proves to you that you can do it again and again. And I think when you have your self-awareness that you're talking about, you can sort of, what do they call it? Like titrate, but you yeah. can give yourself little opportunities to create some discomfort and get a little bit more comfortable and get a little, you know,
yeah.
it doesn't have to happen. Most
all
people, like you're going from like zero to like talking in front of 1,000 people. Maybe if you're, you know, subject matter expert, that might happen, but generally, or you have opportunities to put yourself out there. And if you resist, you know, take the reps.
I feel like and again, we've talked about this quite a bit also on other episodes, but I also find that more often than not, it will be women who are reluctant yeah. to step out of their comfort yeah. zone. They get very, very good, exceptional at one particular skill set, and they don't recognize that they have so much more to give in the workplace than the one thing they're doing. And for some people, that is fine and that works. And, you know, there were people, you know, for example, inside of our building that never wanted to manage and lead. They knew that about themselves. They knew that they would not be good managers and leaders. So they opted for the non-management track. They were subject matter experts. If they were analysts, they were analysts that just focused on Russia or operators who just stayed in the field. That's great. And that's a way of, that's the kind of positive, I think, acknowledgement that there are things that don't bring you joy. And I'm certainly not suggesting that, you know, people pursue things that are not going to spark joy, but that's a very different thing than pursuing things that might be fearful, because
right.
what you don't realize yes. is the more you challenge yourself, as you said, the easier those things become. And then once you have it behind you, you think to yourself, oh my gosh, I can't believe I was ever worried about that, right? I mean,
yeah.
why did I think? And then you look around and you realize, hey, I can actually hang with these people here. Like I can do this, right? And you would never have reached that if you continued to avoid those things that really did not spark joy, shall we say, that did create a little bit of fear in you. And it happens all the time. I mean, I think we've talked about stretch assignments. That's
yes.
the best example that I have found with young people who you see potential in them, right? So I say this to all people who are listening, who are the employees, who have champions, who are reaching out to you. And we've had this discussion before. You know, people recognize what it takes to be successful that are in these leadership tracks. I could spot people who were hard chargers and really had something more to contribute very easily. When people come to you and pluck you out and say, you're ready, go to that next step. Yes, it can be scary as hell. You can think, oh my gosh, I am not ready for this. And then I go back to my first point, which was, yes, you are. Just prepare yourself. Be prepared. It's not an excuse to show up, you know, and frankly, at that next level, more will be expected of you. But if someone's plucked you out and said, you're ready for this, chances are you're more than ready for it.
And rarely are you completely isolated. I think that's the other thing that we can sometimes fool ourselves into thinking is that it's just you against the world. And generally speaking, when we're talking about in the context of work, we're talking about the context of these systems, there's somebody that you can, right? And especially if someone's tapping you, that's a great example. But yet I would also say, even if you're not getting tapped, there's a lot of people around you, if you really intentionally look and reflect, that want to support you, that want to help you, that you can be open with to figure out how to break through whatever is that thing that's holding you back.
Oh, I agree. That was my next point, which was, okay, lack of self-reflection, but also acknowledgement that it takes a village. And I mean that in the context of your personal career, but also in the context of, professional success. You don't operate in a vacuum. If you're lucky, you have a great team around you. And this is what I said, like, I think asking questions is a superpower. I think it shows you're engaged. I think it shows you care about what your people are doing. And all the while you're getting smarter so that the next meeting, you know a little bit more than you did at the last one. But I think there's also people, I would have people come all the time and I'd say, okay, I need you to brief me on XYZ because I don't understand it at all. You need to talk to me as if, you know, I'm a lay person. I do not understand what you are telling me. Explain it to me in a way that I can then advocate on your behalf. You know, so you and people want, and more often than not, especially if you're open and honest and you know, I think that it is just really, we underestimate the power of those relationships. And I can't, you know, I will say this because if you say it, it sounds like the self-licking ice cream cone. But in addition to your peers and your subordinates who can help you get smart, there are coaches and mentors that you can seek out that really help you fine-tune your awareness of yourself. There's obviously a lot of other tools like self-assessments and 360s that I always encourage everyone to take. But I think that personal safe space that you can create with coaches or mentors where you can ask them questions that, you know, again, so much of fear is based on the notion that we're going to embarrass ourselves and we're going to fall flat on our face. I think the tide is turning on that. And there's a recognition now that failing is learning. But it's still there. There's still that stigma attached. The idea that you have to know everything. I just spoke to a class at Georgetown yesterday, and I said, I'll start by saying there's more that I don't know than I do know. I will share with you what I do know, and what I don't know, I will be very clear about. I said, I am self-actualized. You know, I can't say I was always self-actualized, but in this respect. And that is, I think that's a gift when you reach that point that you can say, it's okay to say, I don't know. And frankly, you should always say, I don't know if you don't know something. But it's scary because it does require a leap of faith, right? When you're in front of peers or superior, you know, I can remember that was one of the, when we would get counseled or prepared before we went down, for example, to brief the White House or the National Security Council or a Congress, you know, the number one inviolable rule was, if you don't know the answer to something, do not wing it, right?
Yes.
You say,
yeah.
And that's a hard thing to learn to do because everybody wants to seem like they've got it, right? So,
yes.
So I think, you know, as you said, building your muscle memory in those areas that you struggle with. And to your point, I mean, working with coaches who can really help you make that progress incrementally, because, you know, you're not going to teach somebody to swim by throwing them in the deep end, right? So, so what you're going to do is terrify them for the rest of their life, and they'll probably never get back into water, right?
I had an interesting situation that happened like a couple weeks ago where I was at breakfast with someone and they were a very like avid reader and just have read so much material, both technical and more self-help. I mean, just across the board. And I am not as much of a reader these days. I just don't have as much time. And so they kept asking, like, have you heard of this? Have you read that? And I kept saying, no, no, no. And I started feeling really self-conscious that I was coming across, and the draw to be like, yeah, I've heard of that, or I've read that, when I hadn't. It's
yes.
Like, you just don't want to look like a ninny, or like you don't know, like you, that you're uneducated. But I was like, listen, I can't sit here and pretend that I've read something when I haven't. And I can't pretend, because even if it was a term or a topic and I pretended, then he was going to ask a follow-up question.
Right.
And I wasn't, you know, so to your point of like, you've got to own what you do know, and then it's okay, because that's why we can learn from other people.
Right.
You know, it's cool that he did all the reading, so I got
all the benefit.
Yeah.
And one thing that just I thought of when you said that, because we do have, you know, not surprisingly, in every organization, you have those people, right, who think they know everything and will try to convince you that they know everything.
Yeah.
And here's the problem with that, particularly if you're a leader out there. If you never demonstrate that you're limited in a particular area, or that there are things you don't know, or that, guess what behavior you are modeling to your subordinates. So then as a leader, when you're asking them, and in our case, as I said, in my career, had I asked someone a really important question and they decided to just wing it or bullshit because they didn't want to admit, because they'd seen me as a leader never acknowledge that there was nothing I didn't know, you know, your leadership style transcends.
Yeah.
You know, and other people buy into it, right? So you're modeling the behavior they think they need to model in order to succeed. So then suddenly you've created a problem for yourself where, hey, you haven't built trust because you haven't demonstrated how to be vulnerable. I would much rather have an officer that I'm managing and leading come to me and say, hey, boss, I really screwed this up. This is what happened. Knowing that in instances I've acknowledged, I don't know everything, or hey, I've made mistakes. You create an environment where you're expected to know everything. Guess what? You're going to really set people up for fate and probably more catastrophic failure than would have otherwise happened if they had just learned to acknowledge that, hey, I'm not always on, or no, I didn't do that, or I forgot to do this. And again, in all instances, is someone's life at stake? No, but professional reputation, lots of other things come into play.
Avoidable.
In this world, there's huge implications for some of that. And we all fail in different ways, right? None of us fail exactly the same way. So I would just say that owning it and then working through it is critical.
Yeah. I think that's the other message, is like, don't, if you, you know, if you're listening in right now, there's something blocking because of fear in some, whether it's big or small, you know, try to find a way through it, because that can really prevent you from experience. You know, you talked about the joy factor, the fulfillment factor. I think I often have found when I push through that, that's on the other side.
Yes.
So there is like there, you know, there is reward.
Right.
You can just push yourself a little bit further.
I agree. And, you know, the famous Winston Churchill saying, right, when you're going through hell, keep going. That is a mantra when I would have days and think, oh my gosh, I'm not going to make it. You sometimes, you know, that doesn't apply in every instance for sure. But in most professional scenarios, I think it does, because most of us are capable, despite what they say. You can teach an old dog new tricks.
That's right. All right. Thank you so much. We'll wrap up this topic and we'll talk to you soon about our next one. I think it's success and accountability. So more to come on that.
Very exciting.
Thank you, Relatable Experts. Your advice and counsel is so valuable. Thank you, Relatable Audience. Please rate, subscribe, leave comments, and share this podcast with others. Until next time, this is Career Coach T. Stay connected.